Old Testament reading tonight will be from the book of Joel, chapter 2, the first two verses, and then 12 through 17. The day of the Lord. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness there is spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful people, their like has never been before, nor will again after them, through the years of all generations. And then in verse 12, the return of the Lord. Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your hearts and not your garments. Rend to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not return and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion and consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly and gather the people and consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants, and let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach by a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Our gospel reading tonight is from Matthew chapter 6, the first six verses, and then 16 through 21. Giving to the needy. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, but that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. And truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. And if you forgive others, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, tonight, as we begin this season of reflection and giving or giving up, or however you would like to reference Lent and Ash Wednesday, I'd like to share a reflection that I can't claim as my own, but I think by the end of it, we'll all claim some part of it as our own. This was given some time ago by Pastor Lee Pittard, who was at Harker's Island United Methodist Church. And so here's his story of what it means to bring our baggage and to leave it before the Lord. Well, he begins by saying, we call her the bag lady. No, we're not talking about a homeless female with giving her a derogatory label due to her living conditions. We're talking about my wife. As we take our youth trips, or our youth-owned trips, the other chaperones, the youth, and myself have begun lovingly calling Anita the bag lady. How has she earned that nickname? Well, it's because anytime we go on a trip, whether it's a family vacation, a church trip, or a day trip to someone's home, she carries enough baggage to dwarf that of any other traveler. She might have been given Lovey, the name Lovey from Gilligan's Island, a run for her money. She has earned the name the bag lady because in each of her suitcases our bag or more bags into which she's organized each and everything she's brought along. For instance, inside the toiletry bag, there's a medicine bag, a makeup bag, a jewelry bag, a toothbrush bag, a bag for shampoo and conditioner. Some are amening. A bag for combs and brushes, and of course, the first aid bag, all amongst many other bags. Now, I have to admit, he goes on to say, as hard a time as we have giving her about being the bag lady, the truth be told, if there is a need, she more than likely has it covered. 2 years ago at pilgrimage, she was the only one of us adults who had Neosporin and a Band-Aid when one of our youth got cut. This past weekend at infusion, it was an extra bag of clothes desperately needed when Joshua messed up what he had packed. In addition, when she packs a bag, she knows what she has. She may have 30 bags of varying degrees on a trip, but she knows what bag she has packed, and she knows when she has lost one. For example, a bag at infusion that contained her hand sanitizer, lotion, and perfume. Friday night and Saturday, she looked all over for this bag, claiming that it was lost. And I helped her look for a little bit, but at times I wondered if maybe she had forgotten and just left this bag at home, or if it was just lost amongst all the other bags. Well, Saturday night, when she checked at the front desk, it had been found in the parking lot where we had parked that Friday night. The bag lady knows her bags and quickly reclaimed her lost luggage. You know, many of us could claim the title the bag lady or the bag man. We would not earn that name because we carry around a lot of suitcases, garment bags, makeup bags, backpacks, or briefcases. It's not about the luggage that everyone can see when we travel. He goes on to say, I'm talking about the baggage that many of us carry around that no one ever gets to see. You know, the baggage I'm talking about, not made by Samsonite or Vera Bradley, but the baggage we assemble ourselves out of our past. It's a baggage made up of our hurts and our pains, our guilt and our shame. It's the abuse that we have suffered at the hands of someone that we loved. It's the fear that we feel because our homes or maybe our bodies were violated and nothing around seems safe. It's the guilt we feel over the drugs we took, the sex we had, the abuse we dealt out, or the money we spent. It's the shame we endure because of the gossip we've shared or the bitterness we've harbored. It's the baggage that weighs down our hearts and our minds and our souls with so great a burden that we can hardly even stand up straight. Well, David knew of that baggage. He carried plenty of it. He had been lazy and he had sent his troops out into war, and while he kicked back on the rooftop, he had been a stalker, if you will. It wasn't like he accidentally saw Bathsheba bathing on her rooftop and looked away. In fact, he stared. He didn't only stare. He goes on to say he called a servant, come check this out. Who is that? Who is she? And finding out that she was married to one of his soldiers, he didn't stop himself there. But he let his lust turn to licentiousness, and as he sent for Bathsheba, seduced her, and his sexual urges satisfied, he sent her home. Learning later that she was pregnant, he sent for her husband so that he would sleep with her and he could pass responsibility for that child to Uriah, since DNA testing did not exist. And so, when Uriah decided to be a man of honor and refused to lay with his own wife, because his comrades were still in the midst of war, David arranged for Uriah's death. See, David was like many of us. His baggage had baggage. Having been confronted by the prophet Nathan and coming face to face with his sin-filled baggage, David cried out. And we hear this in the scripture. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop,
and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What a beautiful psalm. Well, David found himself, the author says, a bag man like the rest of us, and he wanted to lose his luggage, not find it. He wanted to be free of all that he carried around, so he turned to the only place he knew he could intentionally lose all that weighed him down. David cried out to God to remove his baggage and cleanse him. As we begin the season of Lent, this Ash Wednesday, brothers and sisters, tonight together we enter into a season of Lent. We enter into that period of the church year in which we are called to examine our lives. And as we examine our lives, as we reflect on who we have become, where we find ourselves, and what we have done, we will discover the baggage that we carry. Some of it we may be aware of already, and some of it may suddenly be revealed to us. All of it will weigh us down and leave us ready to cry out like David, "Have mercy on me, O God." See, the good news is that God has, does, and will have mercy on us. Amen. Amen. So with his Son, Jesus Christ, God invites us to all bring our luggage, all that trouble-filled baggage that we are hauling around, and leave it at his throne. Leave it at his cross. God doesn't invite us to bring our baggage to him and unpack it, view it with him like the clothes on our vacation, and then repack it and take it back home with us. No, he doesn't do that. God invites us always to bring our pains, to bring our hurts, to bring our guilt, to bring our shame, to bring our scars, to bring our sins to him and leave them with him. His desire is to take your luggage and mine, cleansing our lives with the blood of our Savior, clothing us with Christ, sending us as forgiven, healed children. He wants us to be that. And so, beloved, as we examine our lives this Lenten season, this Ash Wednesday, let us pack all those places that we fall short and all those regrets and all those pains and all those things that hold us down and place them in the largest suitcase we can find and leave them at the foot of the cross on Good Friday when we get to that place on this journey, so that Easter morning we cannot be called bag lady or bag man, but only bag free children of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the day of our Lord's Passion and Resurrection, and it actually became a custom of the church that before Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. And so during that season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled and brought back into that community and shown forgiveness, and penance was done and forgiveness was given, and they were restored to a participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and the forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the need that we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, by fasting, by self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word to make a right beginning of repentance. And as a mark of our mortal nature, let's now just bow together in prayer before our Creator and Redeemer, our Lord and Savior, for a moment of silence, and then we'll share together in this prayer thanksgiving over the ashes. Let's pray in silence for a moment.
Now let's join our hearts together in prayer. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.